Now, friends, we said at the beginning, you can divide the book of Psalms according to the Pentateuch. And in the first 40-some-odd Psalms, we had that section that we call the Genesis section. And then we came to that section that is known as the Exodus section. And that began, by the way, with Psalm 42. And now we've come, beginning with Psalm 73, to the Leviticus section. And this is the section where you will find, even in this first psalm, the sanctuary mentioned. Because, you see, the book Leviticus is the worship in the tabernacle and later on for the temple. One of the greatest books, as we've already said before, in the Bible is the book of Leviticus. Now, as we come to this third major division of the book of Psalms, we find here that the emphasis is upon the sanctuary, the house of God. But what would you emphasize there? Well, the book of Leviticus emphasized two things, the holiness of God, and also that without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, so that the two words would be holiness and sacrifice. And they will figure largely, I think, in this particular section here also. And we find here some of the very wonderful psalms, and we begin with a series that David did not write. They are the Psalms of Asaph. And this man, likewise, he was a musician. And this is a psalm of Asaph. So let's begin now with these psalms here of Asaph, Psalm 73. I mean, this is called a psalm of Asaph, and it opens on this basis. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now, immediately, we are drawn to the fact that God is good to Israel, the nation Israel. Does that mean every Israelite? No. It's limited to those that are of a clean heart. Who would they be? Well, it would be those who've come with their sacrifice, who have a desire to serve God and to want to walk with Him. Now, today, if you have been saved, you'll want to walk with God. You'll want to fellowship with Him. You'll want to be clean yourself. You'll want a clean heart. And that follows as the night follows the day, or the day follows the night. You cannot come to Christ and accept Him as Savior and continue to live as you did before. If you do, you actually weren't saved. That is the whole story, and I think we need to hold to that rather tenaciously today. Now, therefore, immediately we're put in the presence of God, but we're put in the presence of God on the basis of the fact that He has cleaned us. He's cleaned us up. When we come to Him, we have forgiveness of sins, and we are washed, a washing of water by the Word of God. Then we find that we are not only washed by the blood of Christ, but we are washed by the Word of God, and the Word of God sanctifies us, and then we want to walk well pleasing to Him. Now, this man who came into God's presence, who could say God's good to Israel, he had a problem. Now, I think his problem is your problem and my problem, too. Or maybe it isn't yours. It's been mine. And the problem is this. Why does God permit the prosperity of the wicked? And why is it that God's people seem to suffer more? Now, as a pastor, many times I find myself rather puzzled. I'd see God's people tried, I'd see God's people suffering, and then I would see the prosperity of the wicked. And it was hard for me to understand it. Now, it was brought home to me. When our first child was born in a hospital, God took that child. The little one died. I only heard the cry of the little one. That's all the little one ever did in this life was cry, but she sure had a message for a lot of folk, because in that little book of mine, The Death of a Little Child, that's the message I gave at her funeral. And may I say to you, I never shall forget that day. Across the hall from where my wife was, there was a very wealthy couple. My, they had rich friends. I drove up in an old beat-up Chevrolet, and they all drove up in Cadillacs out in the parking lot. They went in. They all had champagne, and they were celebrating the birth of the little boy. And he was a precious-looking little baby. All babies are, I guess. Some of them, you know, look like they got heads like a, you know, a 10-cent watermelon, but even then they're precious to the parents. All of us think our, you know, every crow thinks their little crow's the blackest one of all of them. And so they all brought in champagne, and they celebrated, and very rich. The nurse told us, one of the richest families. And I went out that night, I never shall forget, they had a balcony there. I went out and sat down. It was summertime. And I cried out to God, and I'll be honest with you, to this good day, I don't know why God took ours and left that one. Well, they had money, they're rich, and boy, did they live it up. I've seen write-ups about them. They've been in trouble several times. But that little one now is how old my daughter would be. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it. I don't have the answer today. But somebody says, well, then, you mean you're a minister and don't have the answer? No, I don't have it. Well, then, how are you able to comfort others? Well, I'll tell you how. I don't have the answer, but I know who does. And he told me to walk with him by faith. And he said that the way he has to test me is to put me in the dark. Then I reach out my hand and take his. And he said, you can trust me. And I don't know why, but he knows why. And someday, my friend, he's going to explain why. Now, you know, Asaph had that problem. He was a musician and a Levite, and he had a problem like that. Maybe you've got a problem like it, and it's pretty hard to understand.